Today's reading is from Luke 1, 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
I graduated from the same seminary that Martin Luther King did, had the same professor of ethics that he had, and through my ministry have known many of his friends and colleagues along the way. And so his words on love would be appropriate for us to hear as we light the fourth candle, the candle of love this day. King wrote and preached. "We will match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We will meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we will still love you. We cannot, in all good conscience, obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as cooperation with good. And so, put us in jail, and we will go in with humble smiles on our faces, still loving you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and we will still love you. Send your propaganda agents around the country and make it appear that we are not fit morally, culturally, and otherwise for integration. And we will still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our communities at the midnight hours, and drag us out on some wayside road and beat us and leave us half dead, and we will still love you. But be assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. And one day we will win our freedom. But not only will we win freedom for ourselves, we will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process. And our victory will be a double victory." Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for the candle of love, for its power to make the world right. And we pray that in these moments, your word will be proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone wrote a book called Fierce Love. I like that title. You've just heard about fierce love. Love is also tender, and love is also soft and kind, and it comes in many ways, packaged in many colors. The Bible is so full of appeals, celebrations of love. In one of First John's, the writing of First John in the New Testament, the writer says, God is love. And those who live in love live in God. And God in them. And whoever wrote that book to Timothy, the young pastor, said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And perhaps you know that story in the Gospels where someone comes to Jesus and they were talking about all of the rules and rites, all the things in the law that were important. And someone said, Teacher, there are 630 laws. Which one is the most important of all? And Jesus did not say, let me go and check that out and come back and tell you after I check. See. He said immediately those great words, the great commandment. He took from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus, the scriptures that they all knew anyway, and he put together something that can never be separated. It is wed together and it is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind. Deuteronomy, it's there. Look it up. And then from Leviticus, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is what it means to be a human being. This is what it means to be created in the image of God. That we would be persons who live with the fourth candle lighted in our hearts, that we would be forever growing in our understanding of what it means to be God's loving presence. God always seems to be calling us to love beyond. To be persons who are, we are not finished, we're never finished, we're never complete, we never graduate, we're always in that process of learning and learning and relearning so that our hearts grow. It makes our eyes shine, it gives us song. Our lives have a song, like Mary who was given this gift of love in the promise when the angel came and she said, my soul glorifies God. Or in some translations, my soul magnifies. Or in a more recent translation, with all of my heart, I praise the Lord. It was a heart that was receptive, and it was a heart that was ready to grow and to grow and to grow and become larger and larger and larger. That's our task, to be people whose eyes shine and whose hearts sing. That's the gift of the Christmas time, the Christmas gift. We will be very challenged at this point. Has there ever been a time when human life is so cheap? Are you reading the papers? Are you watching the news? Has there ever been a time when human life is so cheap, so expendable? And so we are always being tempted to join the world in that. to believe that there is something else that's more important, to believe that there is a way through life to success, to happiness, to joy, whatever we think our hearts need, that there's a way that will go around love and take another path, take that path. We are always so tempted. The world tempts us. Don't trust love. Trust what the world promises. Don't trust love. And so Mary's response in Mary's prayer, the fourth candle of Advent, it's at the heart of what we are and who we are, and we need to keep reclaiming it, come back to it, be renewed in it, because it wants to go out, the flame. The world wants to extinguish that flame, call us in a different way. We light the fourth candle of Advent because we need to let our hearts grow bigger. Because there's a star over every person that God has made. And our task is to help that person to unpackage and to see and to experience the glory of their lives, because people don't see that. That's the task. That's the evangelistic task of the church. To help people see that there's a star over their life, and that there's a glory hidden and can be found and can be celebrated and can be theirs. And it comes through the gift and renewal of love. Our task is to help people to see that star. And so we keep growing. We keep growing in love. It doesn't matter what skin color. It doesn't matter what economic place. It doesn't matter even what they've done, because we're all in that same boat of having failed. Children don't have requirements about who they love. They just love whoever is in their lives. They accept whoever's in their lives. But we adults, oh, we have requirements, you see. That first you've got to change. You've got to follow this way. You've got to meet the requirement. You've got to jump over this hurdle. You've got to accomplish this task. Adults have all of these requirements, and we, the way we relate to each other is that we reject, we fail to love because people haven't lived up to our expectations, our needs, our beliefs and what they need to do to be acceptable, to be loved. Jesus' call to love is nothing like that. Nothing like that. It was always gift, always gift that wasn't particularly merited. It was the gift before the change. The change always came after. But the gift of love came first, and it was in the giving of the love that enabled people to take a different task, to take a different way, to be a different person. The love came first, the change came after. But we want to just reverse that and say, you change, then I'll love. Jesus never loved that way, and neither should we. It's a story about a seminary student who was up in Ontario, Canada, And it was a cold Sunday morning, colder than today. Of course, in Ontario, it gets really cold up there. And this seminary student was invited to preach in some church, and so he drove out, got there early, settled into the pastor's study to go over his notes to pray before the service. I know what he prayed. He prayed what I pray every time before I preach. God, I've got some notes, and this is awful. And if you don't come and get in my voice and heart and mind, this is going to be a disaster. So would you please help me this morning to proclaim what it is these people need to hear? He was praying something like that. And in the middle of that, some woman burst into the office and said, "You've got to come quickly. You've got to help. There's a man off the street. Some street man, some homeless man, has come into the sanctuary. And he stinks to high heaven. You've got to throw him out." She believed he was able to do that because he was about 6'3" and about 250 pounds. He was a huge guy. And he knew that he was in trouble because his sermon that morning was about love. And he's just been asked to throw somebody from the street back into the street. Well, when he got into the sanctuary, some people had already gathered around this man. One person was sitting next to him, offering hospitality, welcome, even though the smell was overwhelming. Some woman got the bright idea of going into the kitchen and started making a sandwich because she knew he had to be hungry. And then an 8-year-old girl walked up to him and handed him a pair of socks. Someone had noticed they had these old shoes on that didn't have any socks, and because it was so cold, his ankles were almost blue and cold. You know, I don't know what happened after that, but the student went back to school and he told this to his professor back at the seminary where he studied. And the professor said, "Where did the socks come from?" And so we just have to guess. That little 8-year-old girl went up to her father and said, "Daddy, he needs a pair of socks." And as that father and daughter drove home that morning, I imagine his heart was just a little bit larger than it had been. And I imagine that he was singing. If not singing aloud, singing in his heart. And you probably could guess the words of Mary in our text today. "With all of my heart, I praise the Lord." The candle of love is lighted. Amen.